fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, this is Peter Herbeck, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This week we've been talking about the exaltation of the cross and implications from that. We did it because Monday was a special feast day in the church. We talked about the exaltation of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and what it meant. It's been a great week, and if you haven't a chance to listen to the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs are archived there. You can listen to them on your computer, download them, put them on your iPod, listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. I think you'll be blessed and enriched by them. It's been so good. I want to continue today, though, where I left off yesterday, which was listening to St. Peter from his first letter, because from the realization of what Jesus accomplished on the cross and receiving the new life in the waters of baptism and receiving the life of the Holy Spirit to become a new creation, St. Peter is talking to men and women in an early Christian community that he himself evangelized, that he was raising up in Asia Minor, and he was teaching them. First, he was acknowledging that they had experienced what Peter himself had experienced, and they had experienced what all the apostles experienced on the level of what's most important. They came through the preaching of the gospel and the help of the Holy Spirit. These people came to know Christ, and they came to experience the reality of becoming a new creation, just like the apostles did. And Christ was revealed in their hearts, and St. Peter put it, he was kind of marveling at their faith. And he said, without having seen him, you love him. You love someone you've never seen. In fact, some of these men and women, I mean, they were all being persecuted. They were experiencing real trial and real persecution. It was one of the key themes of the letter that Peter wrote to them to help them know how to deal with it and to stay focused on the right things. And he said, even in the midst of this trial, you are passionately in love. You're sold out for someone you've never seen with your own eyes. How can that be? Peter said, because the good news, the truth of Jesus, was revealed to each one of their hearts, to each heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter said that the good news came to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the special mission of the Spirit. I want to say it again and again. The Spirit is given to manifest Jesus, to make Jesus known, to reveal Jesus to every human heart, one heart at a time. Jesus comes to us one person at a time. And the Spirit reveals to us the truth that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that he became one of us, took on human flesh, that he was crucified on our behalf. He shed his blood to deal with our sin, your sin and mine. He was raised from the dead to an entirely new way of life. Existence beyond death is in the person of Jesus. And he's ascended to the right hand of God the Father, and he has absolute dominion and power over everything. And he revealed that God is love, that God wins, that God desires to punish and condemn no one, but he wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, that what he has for us is what he's given to his Son, which is mind-blowing, eternal glory and freedom and life and joy beyond our wildest imagining. Complete fulfillment of all desire. All the desires we've been given, finding their actual object of fulfillment. That's Jesus reigning. And Peter ended yesterday, Peter saying, now set all your hope on the gift that's going to be conferred upon you when Jesus Christ appears. Set all your hope. This is where I ended yesterday, asking the question, what do you hope in? Is your hope for this world? The stuff that you really do set your mind and heart on a daily basis, is it really here? Is it, you know, money, sex, power, possessions, family, whatever? Your retirement, the new job, the new bonus? What awakens your heart? What brings joy to your heart? Is it those things? Peter's saying some of those things are very good. There's not a problem with them. But they're all passing away. And none of them can give you the fulfillment that you really long for and the destiny for which you've been made. So Peter said, get smart, be wise, set your hope, let your confident expectation and the hope that drives you each day be the knowledge of what belongs to Jesus, what he's given you a foretaste of, and what he's going to bring to you when he comes again in glory, or when you meet him, when you pass from death to life. Set your heart on heaven. Set your heart in heaven. Give it to the Lord. Let that be your great treasure. And he goes on in verse 14, he says, as obedient sons and daughters, do not yield your desires that once yield to the desires that once shaped you in your ignorance. Because there's always this battle. We still live in a fallen world. We still have concupiscence, we call that, a certain tendency toward sin, so a tendency toward things that are not right for us, causes us to turn away from God and to put things in the place of God, to put secondary things in a primary place and not keep first things first, to put God at the center of all. Put Jesus as Lord of your life, essentially, is the way to say it. He said, be careful. Stay in your obedience. Stay in that disposition of heart that has you surrendered to following the footsteps of Jesus. Obedience is the way to life. Obedience isn't going to ruin your weekend. It's going to bring you life. That's one of the struggles. The enemy wants to sow lies into your mind, into your heart that says, look, if you continue in obedience, life's going to be boring or it's just going to be too difficult. You're going to miss out on all the fun. It's a lie. Peter reminds him, you're going to fall. You're going to be tempted to yield to the desires that once shaped you in your ignorance. And the ignorance he means is the ignorance of God. You didn't realize, what's this all about? Where have I come from? Why am I here? All of that stuff. I know now. Jesus has revealed it. He's pulled back the veil. I know what this life's all about. And I know what awaits me, either eternal glory or eternal separation from God. And the stakes are as high as they could possibly be. And what I do with my life in this world, the time that I'm given, is of the utmost importance. I have freedom. I'm a son of God. The question is, am I going to order my freedom toward the Lord? And here he's exhorting the brothers and sisters there in the early community, keep moving. Be careful. The devil's going to seduce you. He's going to try to tempt you. Your flesh is weakened. He's going to try to get you to fall back into a former way of thinking, into ignorance where you thought things that really aren't that valuable were ultimate. When you sold out for stuff that'll just disappear and pass away. He's brought you now into clarity, into a renewed mind. Stay there. Keep moving in it. In verse 17, he says, conduct yourselves reverently during your sojourn here in this strange land. See, Peter knows that God created the earth and God created it was good. But he also knows, he'll say later in the letter, this world's going to pass away. It's going to be burned up by fire. And we're going to be given a new heaven and a new earth that will never pass away. So Peter's clear. He said, why? He said, this world is fallen. This world is under the dominion of darkness. Jesus has broken through it and now reigns and has dominion over all, and he's going to bring judgment onto this earth. It's going to pass away. So Peter's saying, don't cling to it. Don't hold on to it like it means everything to you. The latest fashion and living in the right neighborhood and having the right friends and being able to feel superior to other people, to have a big secure bank account or to be able to, whatever it is, you know, whatever you're pursuing that your heart is really set on, my looks and how I look and I look so much different and better than other people and whatever it is, the temptations that are all that ignorance that I have to be in a position of power if I'm going to be free and happy in this world. I have to have a life of perpetual entertainment if I'm going to be happy, or I need to have somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband, all the nonsense of this world that's a fundamental lie that keeps us, or even something like progress. I'm living for progress and the progress of the human race. I mean, in one small way, that can make some sense. You just can't live for progress. I mean, the human race isn't going to continue to evolve into greatness and absolute victory over everything and then present itself perfected to God. It's not going to happen. We need to be saved. Everybody does. We need to work for the good of humanity toward the common good. We need to, all that stuff is right and good, but you don't set your heart on it. You set your heart on God, the one you were made for, the one you belong to. Another translation of that passage is live in reverent fear during your time in exile. So you're exiled from your home, which is the kingdom of heaven. This is a strange land and you're a sojourner. You're just passing through. We desperately cling to this life as if it's our home. The apostles show us, just walk lightly. Don't cling. love your neighbor with all, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and extend the kingdom of God in this world, but don't pretend like this is your home. You're going to pass from this life. Get ready for that passing. Are you ready? Are you living a life that makes sense? Do you have a renewed mind? Are you ordering your life to the fundamental fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord? Is he the reason you get up in the morning? Is he the center of your life? Is he the source of your joy? Is he the goal of your life and the hope of your life? If that's not the case, if you're baptized and call yourself Catholic or Christian, and that's not the case, you're falling back into your former way of life, into, as St. Peter describes it, your former ignorance. In verse 18, he says, you know you were ransomed from the futile ways you inherited from your ancestors. You were ransomed by what? By the blood of Jesus. You were bought out of that life that is dominated by the energy of this world, the disordered energies that are present in this world, that all that matters is the frantic pace to pursue and to acquire and to have as much as you possibly can have in this world. And that your life only has meaning if you've got a ton of toys or you achieved a great deal of recognition in this world. Friends, look, all that's passing away. All of it needs to be ordered and under the lordship of Jesus, or your life doesn't make sense. A living contradiction. That's why Peter calls it the futility of the life you've inherited. Why is it futile? Because that life that says this is where the action is, this is what matters, is everything I can have in possession and achieve here, this is all there is, that's a lie. That's foolishness. It's temporary. It's passing away. You belong to another kingdom that will never pass away. Live for that kingdom here now. Live for that kingdom. It doesn't mean you ignore the needs of those around you. Absolutely not. You see everybody now, according to Christ, the eternal value that's present in them. Love your neighbor. Wash their feet. Care for the poor. That's why the saints could just give away what they have, and why the church continues to exhort us that the poor among us are calling us to live out our Christian vocation with greater power and totality. He said, realize that you were delivered from the futile way of life your fathers handed on to you. That's a life that's under the law, a law that you can't fulfill apart from God and from God's grace. The apostles had such a clear understanding of what this life is and what it means to be Christian. They had a renewed mind. Their mind was touched by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gave them the power and the capacity to put proper value on things, to calculate things according to their precise value. And of all things they knew, they remember the words of Jesus that he spoke directly to them. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, his way of holiness, and everything will be added to you. Seek it first. Don't just include it in your life. Seek it first. On your knees, look at that cross. Jesus, I want to follow you. You're the king of the kingdom. Lord, I'm your servant in this kingdom. Show me the way. How can I please you? How can I live for you in this short time you've given me? Friends, that's our destiny. Don't forget Crossing the Goal this weekend at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on EWTN. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.